Cowtalkradio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right,
on time.
It's tricky. Right.
Here we go.
It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky. It's tricky.
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 It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have Twitch Prime, which is Amazon Prime, and Twitch merged into one magical thing, well, you can use your free, absolutely 100% free subscription for this channel, if you'd like. Just click the little purple button at wherever the fuck it is on the screen now. And you can follow, but if you don't have one or you don't have Twitch Prime, well, that's fine, because you can just, you know, subscribe regularly. We welcome that too. Or if you just want to follow or hang out, that's fine. And if you're in a following mood, go over to twitch.tv/LinsWard, LinsWard. That's my channel. Please give it a follow. At some point, I will be able to stream again. If my internet ever decides to behave itself, we don't know when that's going to happen. I'm terribly sorry. But if you'd like to follow the channel, get me to affiliate, I would appreciate it, because at some point I would like to give you guys fish butts. If that ever happens, I have no idea. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, we're here. We're live. Rack Radio Show, Wild Talk Radio, at Lin's Word on the Twitter. It's going to wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com. We're twitch.tv/WTLive, where you can hit that purple rectangular button below. It's below the screen now. Below.
They keep moving it. I don't know where it is anymore.
It's below. It was above, and now it's below. And
I don't know why they felt the need to move it. I feel like that's rude.
Because they made a new layout.
It's rude.
I understand this, but this is Twitch. What they do. We have a lot of stuff to get into tonight, don't we?
We do. We certainly do. By the way, I'm so sorry about last week. My internet, just to clear the air, just let everybody know what happened. My internet died at 9 p.m. last Thursday, and it came back up briefly at like 10:45, and I was like, let's do a show, because I really wanted to talk about the Undertaker stuff. I was super excited about it, and then my internet died again, and it did not come back till like 1 a.m. Officially, it was up and down the rest of the night, so I'm terribly, terribly sorry about last week, guys. It's holding strong this week, where at least we can do a show. I can't really do anything else with it, but we can do a show, and we didn't have a lot of news And then, well, Bray Wyatt, bless him, decided to put some news out there as to why he's been potentially absent here these last couple weeks. And that is that he welcomed a brand new baby.
Girl.
We think it's a girl. Sex was not revealed, so we are going gender neutral. He and his lovely
partner,
don't know if they're married or what their status of their relationship, there's a lot of unknowns here, welcomed a brand new baby named Hyrie Von Rotunda, we believe, in the last few days. Don't know if it was actually today or if it was a couple days ago or when the baby was actually born, but congratulations to Bray and JoJo on the birth of their second child.
So he's a boy and a girl now.
We think he has a girl. We think. I don't know.
I'm trying to make it.
The only reason everybody thinks that the baby is a girl is because the baby has a bow. Like, the one picture out there has, like, a little bow on the top of the baby's head that's, like, white and gold. And then the baby has, like, a purple, I guess, onesie on or purple something on under a blanket. So, we're thinking girl, but nobody really knows for sure. We're waiting for certain people to get online to talk about the baby so that way we can get confirmation for sure, because they like to spill all the tea on the family. No, I'm kidding. But yes, yeah, so congratulations
she's
to Bray
not,
and JoJo.
She's not kidding. She is absolutely not kidding.
No, I'm really not kidding. I'm actually very proud of this person because they kept quiet about it for 9 months. I'm very proud of them. Because nobody knew this was coming. This, like, just came out of left field today that, like, oh, hey, by the way, baby.
Oh, look, I'm going to do a magic trick. Here's a baby.
Like, I'm super happy for them, but the fact that they kept that quiet, I want to know how they kept that quiet. I really do. Like, how nobody, like, saw them together or saw her out and about or anything like that, and it never hit the internet, never hit anywhere. Like, what kind of occult black magic did he do to keep this under wraps that tightly? Like, that is insane.
I am really, really surprised that Ramblin' Rabbit did not go on the internet and spoil it all.
I mean, Ramblin' does do that. He likes to spill secrets.
And the fact that Ramblin' Rabbit kept it to himself for all of these many months. Good job, Ramblin'.
We're very proud of you, Ramblin'. Way to go. So, congratulations to them. Like I said, this is their second child. And from all indications, this pregnancy and birth did go better than the previous one. In case you don't know, or you never heard, or you don't remember, JoJo had a very difficult birth with their first child. She had preeclampsia, and they had to do emergency cesarean on her, and she almost died. So thankfully, it sounds like, or it seems like, this birth went better, but there's no confirmation of that. But hopefully she's recovering and she's okay and she's feeling fine after the ordeal. And I just hope everything went okay for her.
So his two kids with JoJo, the boy and the girl.
We're going with girl.
One was born 5 days before his birthday. One's either 3, 4, or 5 days after his birthday. He's just wedged right in the middle. He will never have an actual birthday ever again.
Well, and plus his brother's birthday is like 2 days or 1 day after his.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. It's the way it goes.
Yeah, so, I mean, which is great because clearly that family has very strong genes and very strong ties to the end of May in terms of birthdays. Because they've got two, like, right there together. And now they have four right there together.
And we've learned he now has really strong swimmers.
Yes. Yes, he does. Because you can do the math on this and you can figure out exactly how quickly this wondrous bundle of joy came. Which
we could do the math. He had sex the same time 2 years in a row.
Ding.
If you think about it.
And that's why I'm saying it's so good that she's okay, because they are very close together in terms of her having two babies very close together. And so because of the procedure that had to be done, she got pregnant before the recommended time to do that, which is fine. Not judging. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just very happy that nothing went wrong for her because something very, very bad could have happened. So thankfully it did not. And she's okay, we think. Have not heard otherwise. So we're going with that she's okay and she's fine. And hopefully she is.
It is a miracle, yeah.
Yes, it's a very, it's a small miracle that she's okay. Which, again, not judging, just so everybody's aware. It just, it's, if you know even the smallest, like, if you're a woman or a gynecologist, you understand what's going on here, because there's, like, certain things that you're told growing up that you don't do, especially when it comes to, like, the whole child thing, and when it happens, it happens. Like, there's nothing, well, there is things, but they wouldn't entertain them, that you can do about it. So you just kind of got to roll with it, which is, I think, what happens. So, which, not to say that baby isn't wanted, because I'm sure she certainly is. I'm rambling at this point. But, yeah. She's just very lucky.
Yeah, she's very lucky. So let's move on to other news presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
By the way, thanks for the news, Bray. Anyway, we have a couple of re-signings. We have a lot of movement in the wrestling world this week in terms of people going places, signing new contracts. So that is all good news. It was announced that Drew Gulak has re-signed with WWE. He was at SmackDown he was at Raw this week. And so they got all the contract details worked out, which is what everybody kind of figured was going to happen.
Which is why no details. He was never officially wished his best of luck in his future endeavors by WWE.com. His contract went out. They were still negotiating. He was moved to alumni, which alarmed everyone. And now if you go to WWE.com, he has the SmackDown logo above his name again. So
yay! Drew!
He missed 1 week.
He took a vacation.
One staycation. Episode. Yeah, staycation. Stay, 1 week staycation away from SmackDown.
So Deonna Purrazzo has landed, much to actually a lot of criticism. But it's not towards her. She signed with Impact Wrestling, so congratulations to her. That is a huge pickup for Impact. And there was a lot of criticism actually directed at Kenny Omega this week because he did not pick her up for AEW and sign her for AEW. And he was kind of like, we look at our women's division, we're fine. But yeah, there was a little bit of controversy there because Kenny Omega did not make the grab. So
yeah, she's not officially fully signed with Impact. She's working with Impact at this stage. So she's on a, you know, day by day, week by week basis with them.
Pay per play.
Yep.
Which is fine.
By the way, they're going back to work again. They're taping some more this week.
Go them. Flip Gordon has re-signed with ROH. So good for him.
He signed a multi-year deal with Ring of Honor.
And then we have some big AEW news because, well, number one, Brian Cage has signed with AEW. He left his Impact contract and there was, again, a little, we're going to say controversy there because apparently Impact offered him a new contract as he was signing with AEW. So, yeah.
He was worried because he got injured and he's been out for a while. Apparently he's been signed with AEW for a few months now and they've been paying him while he's been injured. So good on them for doing right by a guy. If you mm-hmm. If you want more thoughts on Brian Cage, you go to CBRLive.com. Check out the CBR Not So Live special about AEW. Double or Nothing.
That is the one show we do not do on this network.
That you don't do on this network.
That I don't do. Well, there's a couple of those I don't do on this network, but yeah. That is not Rack affiliated at all. And then, well, in other big AEW news, they're about to go hard.
Say yeah,
because all day and all night, the X Revival,
now known as FTR,
have arrived in AEW. They're there.
Yeah.
Much to the non-shock of everybody.
It was so shocking that they showed up in AEW this week. They made their debut, all wrestling, which is Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood. Dax Harwood sounds like a porn star name.
It does.
But now they're known as FTR. They appeared on Dynamite this week. You know, in your WCW tie-in, it was, or your Nitro tie-in, I should say. It was X 14 years to the date that Scott Hall showed up on Nitro. And one of them tweeted earlier before their debut, "Hey yo," and well, there you go. It's good for them. They'll have some good matches with SCU and the Young Bucks and the Pentagon Juniors and Phoenixes of the world. It's fine.
It should be good. It should be interesting.
Yeah, it's a fine move for them.
So, all right. We don't have a bumper for this, right?
You're missing a segment.
Oh, right. Hit it.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
I just really want to talk about The Undertaker.
Hi.
So.
Hi. Hi, Brent.
Oh, Brent. You showed up just in time for us to yell at you about your segment. So, Brent had a very busy week, everybody. You can yell at him. Just be nice about it, because we don't want him to cry. So, up first, which we'll kind of get into in NXT in the back half of the show, Timothy Thatcher with a busted tooth.
Teeth.
Hashtag blame Brent.
In the match with Matt Riddle on Wednesday, last night, apparently he got his teeth kicked or punched, literally, out. There's blood everywhere. It was horrifying.
Yeah.
So, hopefully he's able to get his teeth fixed. Because, yeah, that was bad. Like, they were showing his tooth laying on the mat, and it's like, oh god, why? Why are you showing that? Don't show that. So, yeah, poor Mr. Thatcher, he lost his teeth, which he didn't have that many to begin with. Up next is Matt Jackson with some bruised ribs?
I think a broken rib for Matt Jackson.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Still wrestling.
Still wrestling, he's completely fine, no, except for a broken rib, but...
Here's the thing with Matt, right? He's been gone from, they said on Dynamite, I think, for 90 days or something like that. 96 days. They came back last week because of all the COVID stuff. They were not on TV. And he breaks his rib.
Like you do?
By jumping off a thing through a thing. And yeah. Off to a good start.
And last, but certainly not least, the one that everybody is very, not to say that we aren't upset about the other two, but the one that everybody was most concerned about that happened last week on
Dynamite.
AEW Dynamite, thank you. And it's very, 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 very upsetting and tragic is that Britt Baker, originally I think it was believed to be an ACL, but it's now being reported that she's a broken patella.
Yeah, something like that. And you have to do it correct. Dr. Britt Baker with an apparent knee injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
For those of you that don't know, Nyla Rose got thrown onto her leg, and the force of the impact damaged her leg, knee, patella, ACL, that general area, to the point that she will be out for 6 months?
6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, okay. So that's not bad.
She promises to be back for All Out in September. That is her goal, so... There's that. Yeah, it was looked to be a torn ACL, MCL, but it's not as severe.
Which is good.
She still has a big knee injury, but it's not the one that'll put you out for the year.
By the way, everybody that's speculating that Adam Cole is going to AEW, he is dating Dr. Britt Baker. They go to each other's functions. She's been to many WWE things. Stop.
But he was there at the AEW party. Oh my god.
Because he's dating her. Or they're married.
They're dating.
Okay. Probably soon to be married, I would bet. But yeah, he goes to lots of AEW functions. He's also friends with the Bucks and Cody and everybody. So I'm sure he's invited because they're in Jacksonville. And he's over, I think, somewhere. Orlando, mm-hmm. somewhere. So it's not that far for him to go. So yeah, just
for the point of reference, that was not Adam Cole in that universe. Adam Cole is dead. That was an Adam Cole lookalike.
Okay.
In the Bucks of Youth world, he's dead.
Then whatever his actual name is, was there. Hold on, is Adam Cole? Is that his real name? Hold on,
I think it's Austin.
Adam to the Google. Adam Cole.
Bay.
Is that his middle name? Austin Jenkins. So it was Austin Jenkins at the party, not Adam Cole. Get it right.
Bay.
God, he's only 30? Really? I feel fucking old now. Okay. All right. Taker? Can I now talk about Taker?
Let's talk about The Undertaker, The Last Ride. Or as Jenna calls him, Boom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's apt.
I mean, that's appropriate. So let's talk about episode 3 of The Last Ride, which aired on the WWE Network this past Sunday on demand or on the streaming part of the app.
So you can tell that this is the more recent footage of him because in the sit down, everything's different. It's lit differently. He's he's just, I think, come off of WrestleMania, or he's come off an event because his hair is dark. And he's honestly not comfortable in the sit-downs. Like, you can tell he's not comfortable, but which is a general theme for him. You can tell he does not necessarily like talking about himself.
Who does?
But when you get him going on wrestling or other people, he's fine. So this was all about his relationships in the business. He's come back from his match with Roman Reigns. He's happy with it.
No, and now the one with Cena.
Or I'm sorry, the one with Cena. And he's now embarking on what was his grand tour.
Well, he wasn't actually happy with it, if you remember. He was a little PO'd that, you know.
He was appeased for the time being.
It went 3 minutes.
He wanted it to go longer. All wanted it to go longer.
He wanted to go 30. He went 3. So he felt a little empty. He needed a little bit more to satisfy himself.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is where he embarked on the grand tour, which is when he did the Saudi events and when he did
the house
SummerSlam, the house show, and he started wrestling more. This was that year.
This is when he did the house show at Madison Square Garden. He did two Saudi events. I like how they just went into the Saudi stuff where it's like, yeah,
it was a clusterfuck.
Well, no, it was he was happy to go because, you know, he's there to build this opportunity for WWE, and he thought it was a great honor to be chosen to go.
Oh, you're talking about the first one.
Yeah, I'm going in order.
I'm sorry. I just thought we were going to go right for it. Yes, no, he was thrilled on the first one. Like Rock said, he was honored. We got to see him and Vince and everybody having dinner with the Sheik or the Crown Prince or the higher up officials. I'm not sure who was there because I don't remember. But we got to see him having dinner and pictures from behind the scenes at Saudi. And, you know, we see clips of the match with Rusev, and he was fine with it. He was okay with it. What's interesting is when he brought up, because I don't think he had ever been to Saudi, or been a long time since he'd been, because he said, you never know how they're going to react to the macabre stuff that we do in the Undertaker world.
Yeah, the casket match stuff.
Yeah, he's like, when you roll that stuff out in places like that, you never know how that's going to go.
You never know.
It's like, oh, Mark. Oh, honey. And then when he talks about the house show, and he was happy with that.
It was cool stuff seeing them go do the tour of the house show and him getting ready and everything like that. That was really cool.
And then we start talking about the setup of the DX match.
Before we get to the DX match, we long for the greatest storyline of all time, the 4-year epic between Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. The Undertaker's in love with Shawn Michaels. I'm just going to straight up say it. Mark Calloway, in a platonic way,
mm-hmm.
not in any other way, I'm not implying anything else, but in a platonic way, Mark Calloway is in love with Shawn Michaels. And he's jealous as hell of him, too. Because that is what Taker wants. That's how Taker wants to go, is how Shawn went. Where he has the big send-off, he has the John Elway ending, he has all this stuff. Like, he wants to go out like Shawn did at 26. That's what he wants. That's what he's searching for. God bless him. To which I'm like, why didn't you just... Okay. Anyway, he wasn't ready then, but he could have been. But then we wouldn't have gotten a series of matches after that. But he does talk about the story that they built, not only at 25 and 26, but 27 and 28, and how all that ties together, and how good that was, and how wonderful that was. And then he kind of goes into how he's jealous of Shawn, because Shawn could retire, and Shawn could walk away, and Shawn was 100% content with the decision,
mm-hmm.
and never had the urge to come back. They went to him multiple times, and every time, Shawn said no. Every time, mm-hmm. right? And Taker is so envious of that. And it kind of intercuts of stuff with other guys and I believe his wife, talking about what he's looking for and how he's trying to find it and I think it was Edge that said he has to find the peace in not only his professional life, but his personal life to be able to make the decision, and he hopes he can find it. I feel like that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of the things that, like, Sean had was Sean decided, I've had enough. I'm good. I've done everything I ever wanted to do. I want to go home and be a dad. And he wanted to go and be there for his two kids and his wife and live their life and live out of the spotlight and not be Shawn Michaels anymore. He wanted to be himself. And he was fine with that decision. And Taker has tried to make that decision and do the exact same thing, and he can't do it. So there's something there beyond the grand send-off that he's looking for, that he's not happy with.
Yeah, he's looking for peace.
He's trying to find it. I don't know what that piece is for him. I hope he does find it. But it was kind of an interesting little insight from Edge, especially from someone who didn't get to make the choice and is now back. And I think he even brought it up. He brought it up on Raw that, you know, The Undertaker's looking for it and he thought he was cool with it. And then he comes back and now he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
He understands.
So through this,
Adam Copeland, wise beyond his years. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
So this whole thing started with the announcement of Undertaker and Triple H in Australia for Super Showdown. So we got to reflect on 25 and 26 and 27 and then 28 and talked about the great, like, how great of a moment the Shawn Hunter spot was with the super kick and the pedigree. Like, that's the greatest near fall you can ever have. And he's not wrong about that.
He's really not. Because he's like, if there was ever a moment where the streak at that point was ever in doubt, that was it. That was it. And I have to tell him, not that he'll ever hear this, he's right. I remember that happening and all of us sitting here going, oh, holy shit, they're going to do it. And he kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And we all cried with joy. Except for Rock, who's a Triple H fan.
Yeah. And Shawn Michaels. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a thing.
We forgive him for that.
Hashtag Triple H movement. Anyway, so we got all the reflection in there. We talked about the sign stuff, the sign image that Undertaker has, that Shawn has, and Hunter has that from the match.
Which is cool.
Yeah. And how organic the whole thing was and the what have yous. And then we move on to, you know, we go to Australia and how all that went down. And everything went fine.
Okay, but can we talk about Australia? Because we were introduced to the other love of Taker's life. And his name is Larry.
No, that was in Saudi.
Was that in Saudi?
That was in Saudi. We were going to get to that.
Okay, all right. We met the other... I thought that was...
No.
Was that Saudi?
I believe that was Saudi, yeah.
I thought that was Australia.
No, it was Saudi.
Okay,
maybe in Australia. You're maybe right.
No, it was in Australia.
Okay, was it Australia? Okay.
Yeah, it was Australia because they're sitting there...
It says Saudi.
I thought it was Australia. Anyway, we'll get to it. We'll talk about Larry in a minute.
Overseas somewhere.
50 years later, when we decide where it actually was. Anyway, yes, Australia, go. We'll talk about Larry in a minute.
So no, they get through the match and everything was going fine. And then, you know, we see footage of them setting up the Shawn stuff. And Taker was very adamantly surprised that Shawn agreed to do Saudi.
And I love how, like, they're talking about the match, because like, you get Hunter to talk about the match and how it's like, it's the four of them, right? It's Kane, Undertaker, Shawn, Triple H, you know. And I loved the sum up of this, you know, Taker and I are only doing the part-time thing. Shawn's hasn't wrestled in 8 years and Kane is the mayor. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. So we're getting this whole setup and they just show all the promos and whatever. And then they go and show some highlights of a Kane and Undertaker, well, putting together their promo.
I love that this exists. I love that we got to see it. I want to believe that there's one for AJ. Somewhere that should have aired on TV.
Yeah.
So basically what it is...
Hold on.
Oh, we're going to play it?
We have three words for you. Go f*** yourself.
And then Kane does a crack shot.
It was great. It was so great.
So it's a blooper from the promo.
Intentional blooper.
Intentional.
Because they planned it, because they don't say...
Go after yourself. And yeah. The thing. It's supposed to be rest in peace.
I mean, personally, I feel like go fuck yourself is a lot more effective and is very much in character for The Undertaker. Like, the fact that he can't tell people to go fuck themselves makes me very sad.
I thought the best part was Kane doing a crotch job.
Yeah, that was good, too. That was very good.
So, they talk about the match, and they're ready for the match, and then before we get to the match, we then meet Larry. Larry Heck, WWE athletic trainer. And the one guy Taker loves to give a lot of crap to.
So basically, he sets this up as my level of how much I like you is entirely dependent on how much shit I give you. Apparently, Larry and Taker are work married. That's all I'm going to say. Because he apparently gives Larry, like, a lot of shit.
Because they play cards. They play gin a lot.
Which stunned the shit out of me that he plays gin. I never, like, I shouldn't be surprised by it, but I never would have pegged him as someone that plays gin.
And, you know, it's just him and Larry, and he doesn't allow people into the card game at all. And if you bring him bad luck, he will kick you out of the card game. Hornswoggle.
Yeah, and then he starts naming off everybody that brings him bad luck.
Big Show.
Basically,
Tony Chimmel.
Big Show. Yeah, Tony Schiavone.
Tony Chimmel.
Or not Schiavone, Chimmel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like, he just starts naming off people. He's just like, oh god, Taker, no. But yeah, it was just a really cool thing to see that, you know, because he's talking about we have a lot of downtime, and it's just The Undertaker just sitting there, and they're like running the tests for the entrances and stuff, and they're sitting backstage playing cards, and the gong goes, and Taker's like, uh-oh, something bad's about to happen.
My favorite part was, like, Larry spoke, and they don't play for money. They play for pride, and Taker's a sore loser.
Yes.
And then
what I love is just Glenn sitting in the background.
Laughing. And then Taker makes a quip about, you know, Larry's game is subpar.
No. So they're like, Taker's basically handing out compliments at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I better say something nice about Larry. I guess. I mean, his game's subpar. And he just starts talking smack. And he's like, and I'm going to get a phone call after this airs.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Mark, you dick. I hurt you so much. And then I'm not 100% sure if it was a compliment or not. I think it was. I'm fairly sure it was. But they start talking about Glenn Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
Kane and that whole relationship, and how Glenn was very complimentary to Taker and said how much he helped him in the early on, and that he would not have had the career that he's had without Taker. And Taker's like, yeah, I, you know, out of everybody, I'd let Glenn Jacobs hold my wallet for a little while. Smile. Smirk. And I'm like, that's a compliment, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a compliment.
In regards to the Australia match, he was like, I was happy with it. Maybe I'll watch it. And then, well, if something got screwed up, it was Kane's fault. And Kane said it wouldn't be the first time he said that.
Says it every time.
Mm-hmm. The quote was, you can count on the sun, just as you can count on the sun coming up in the morning. He's one of the few guys I would ever let hold my wallet if I had to.
Spark.
Ah. So then we get to the full crown jewel match, and it was bad. Everything didn't go right, and
it was a shit show. They admit it was a shit show. They don't even try to cover up the fact that it was bad. Like, they talk, and this is where they're talking about the fact that this should have gone perfectly fine. That, you know, it's like a couple choke slams, pedigree, super kick, we go home. It's all good, right?
That's what Sean wanted. Sean was going to do a couple super kicks and be done.
And, you know, Hunter tears his pec in the first 2 minutes of the match. And Sean has to carry the match. He hasn't wrestled in 8 years. And Hunter's like, in all the years that I've known Sean, I've never seen him lose his cool. And when I told him I tore his pec, he kind of lost it for a minute because he's like, wait, what? What do you mean? What are you talking about?
What do you mean? I actually have to wrestle this match. You were supposed to wrestle, and I was supposed to super kick.
Yeah, you were supposed to carry this match, Hunter. You're the hard carry. What the hell? And then at one point, Kane's mask comes off, and it's not a good showing. And I think it is summed up best when they come back, and Sean comes backstage first, and he just looks at somebody and goes, we missed it by that much, and he holds his hands like super far apart.
Mm. And Tanger talked about how his head wasn't in the game for the match. There were things going on in their his personal life that had him elsewhere, meaning I would assume it's one of the parents was sick or ill or something.
I would have to say it would be his mother or his great aunt, because his father has been dead for, God, probably 20 years now.
So something was going on.
Yeah, and I think I remember something about that they had a loss in their family, either right before that or right after that, that something happened to somebody or a friend was sick or something. Because I remember them putting in, saying something about it publicly, that they were dealing with stuff. She put it out, I think, on Twitter, and they asked for privacy in that time for whatever was going on. So I don't know what was going on, but hopefully it was okay, and he's okay now. But yeah, he was not happy in the here comes the vicious cycle.
Yeah, Michelle basically put it out, here's the cycle. Taker's not happy with this performance. He wanted to redeem himself, because if everything went well in Saudi, Taker would have been happy with the match and could have been settled and rode off into the sunset.
Oh.
But it wasn't.
So here we go again.
Back in the cycle. So yeah, it was. And Sean talked about how Taker's chasing the dragon, and it's hard to get out of that cycle, and that's where we are at this point. He's chasing that dragon. He's trying to find it.
I have to say, because 3 episodes into this, one of the things that I think scared me about this was that my opinion of the person behind the Undertaker was going to change. Because this is the first exposure that any of us have really had to Mark. Like, we all know the Undertaker. We all know everything about that whole persona at this point after 30 years. But the man behind the character, we've gotten so few glimpses of him that it's like you hear the stories, right? And you hear things about him. And is it really true? Is he really who everybody says he is? And he is. You can tell he is. You can tell that, you know, he's someone that carries himself with a lot of honor and decency, and he has a very high opinion of what he does and is a perfectionist and wants to make sure that he gives nothing but 100%, if possible, to what he's doing at all times, which is why he has the respect that he has. But I think where my opinion is changing is I'm starting to feel a little sorry for him, if that makes sense. And I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way, but it's like he's had this story career, right? And we're getting ready to get into the heavier stuff because, you know, it's like they talk about WrestleMania 30 and what happened there. And then they show the Roman match, and that was not the best performance for him. And then now they talk about Saudi and how Saudi was not necessarily the best performance for him. So he is going into that vicious cycle where it's like he'll have a bad match, he'll redeem himself. He'll have a bad match, he'll redeem himself. And his one greatest fear is that he's going to become a joke, right? That's his one, what he claims to be one true fear. And he's out there chasing everything and looking for everything and trying to find it. And I think where I pity him is that he can't find it, or he can't figure it out. And so he's continuing to push and to come back. And where we are, at least in the series, it almost feels like he can't let go, that he doesn't want to find it. And I think that's where I pity him, is he just can't get there. Because I think in a way there's a lot of fear of the unknown, and I'm not to say that he's afraid, but just that's the sense that you get based on the way that they're telling the story, is that there is a certain level of fear there of what comes next. Because when you've done something for 30 plus years of your life, it can be hard, especially and achieve the level of success and fame and, you know, status that he has, which he will never lose.
Mm-hmm.
It can be hard to let that go, especially now, because the world is the most connected and his star is continuing to rise. Like, his star, this has raised his star even more than it was already was, but it's like him being on Instagram that helped make him relevant. And I think there's a relevancy level that he's enjoying that he can never enjoy again. And I think that's hard for him to let go. So I guess I pity him in a way, because it's like you're just seeing what he's doing to himself. And especially last episode where we saw him having surgery and, you know, hearing the amount of surgeries and the amount of injuries and seeing that he can't straighten his fingers anymore, and that he's had both his eye sockets surgically repaired, both of his hips worked on, his knees, his back, his shoulder. You know, there isn't one part of him that hasn't been operated on, more or less. You know, you see the physical toll that it's taken on him, and he's still going, which is, one, a miracle. And two, it's just, it's almost a little sad, but not in a bad way. It's just, you just kind of, your heart just kind of aches because you're like, oh God, honey. Like, I don't want you to go, but I kind of want you to go, you know, just for your own sanity, just for your wife's sanity, which God bless that woman for putting up with that. Because damn, she is a stronger person than I would be. I can tell you that. But then again, I don't know how that relationship works. But yeah, we have to talk about the one thing, though, that we did not discuss. And that was at the beginning of this episode. And that is his daughter. Ladies and gentlemen, this man, and this is the other reason I pity him, is in so much goddamn trouble. He doesn't know it yet. That child is blessed with the sass. She is blessed with the quick wit and the smart mouth and the sass that every Southern woman needs. And Lord help him, he is so screwed when she gets older. Because she is not going to take his shit. I can just tell you that right now. He's in trouble. Because it's after the match with Cena. Yes, blessed and highly favored with all the sass. That's very true, Wit. So after the match with Cena, which is at the beginning of the episode, it's Michelle and Taker and the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know which name they actually call her by. And they don't say her name on the show. So we will just say the daughter, for all intents and purposes. And so they're walking backstage. And the daughter just very, very loudly goes, I can't believe the daddy won. And he just stands there like, WTF, child. To which we then find out that she has... And mind you, she's only like 7 or 8.
Which means John Cena is her favorite wrestler.
John Cena is her favorite wrestler. She had to watch Daddy beat up her favorite wrestler, which I feel like is a rite of passage in that family. I feel like he has beat up every single one of his children's favorite wrestlers because reasons. And, because he's just, that's how long he's been there. That's how long that's happened. And so they basically come out and say that she's only been awake for the ones that he's lost, because they're generally... don't put her to sleep. Like, she's fallen asleep during all the ones that he's won. She's only ever seen him lose. She's never seen him win. Which I just sat here and cackled. I shouldn't have, but it's just like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, bless her. Bless that child so much. And you have to wonder if his other children are as equally blessed. I feel like she's going to have it more than the other kids, because I feel like she's going to have been around him the most, because you know that's exactly where she gets it from, mm-hmm. and her mama. But yeah, he is in so much trouble when she gets older. I don't think he knows, and I don't think anybody should tell him. Don't tell him. Just don't. Let him learn that for himself. But yeah, on all, this was a good episode. There is no new one this week or next week. We don't get another new one until June 14th, where we will get the final two together.
Is it the final two together?
It's, well, they don't come back to back, but we get one week and we get another.
Yeah, it happens on Father's Day.
She's the youngest and she's being raised by a Florida redneck mama. The man is in trouble. Yes. Yes, he is. He's in so much trouble. So yeah, so there are no new episodes this week or next week, which makes me a little sad, but also a little happy, because I feel like I need a little bit of a breather from it, because this was a lighter episode, but it was still heavy. But, like, the first two episodes were just really a lot to take in. And this one was equally as much. But the next one's going to be interesting, because the next one talks all about Goldberg and that whole
situation that we have stumbled upon.
So it will be very interesting to get the insights on the Goldberg and how that all happened. Because they do actually talk about how Taker gets hurt in that match. But yeah, just to talk about how that whole thing kind of went down. Yeah. Which will be awkward. But I say we take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we will be doing Tweet of the Week, and we will be talking all about this week's NXT. So you're going to subscribe right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Greater Than Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
bang event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo, please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
WWE superstar Natalya, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
Shock the system.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on recradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have a quick second and you have a Twitch Prime available, well, you can follow this channel for free, or I should say you can subscribe to this channel for free. You can also follow it for free. by using your Twitch Prime sub. But if you want to sub regularly or just hang out, that's fine too. We don't really care. And if you're in a following mood, well, you can go over to twitch.tv/LensWard, which is my channel, and you can follow that for free as well. If I ever am able to stream again because my internet is stupid, I will do so. But I'd appreciate it if you followed the channel all the same. So now, ladies and gentlemen, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, all right. Ninja, just the usual day, nothing new. And he puts out a TikTok video of him, me chilling, carrying the team. Lupo sniping everyone, and it's him smiling in both of those. Courage eating like usual, and of course he's eating. And then Tim dying to fall damage, and it's him falling on the floor acting like he's dead. CypherPK responds, I wasn't tagged because I don't get carried. Tim says, go make a fucking tutorial, bro. Dr. Lupo replies, bet he's not the one. Bet he's got one on not dying to fall damage. That might help.
Ouch.
To which Cypher actually did reply.
Did he link it?
He did link it to a tutorial of not dying to fall damage.
Nice.
To which Tim goes, dude! So, up. And then Lupo also replies, what is Jack eating, though? And for the record, it's chocolate. Batman Slander tweets out, y'all really testing my love for Batman. The other day, someone said Batman could lose his powers if the IRS audited him. I was sick. Austin Creed replies, I am losing it. Thank you, at True Kofi.
Okay.
Goliathan tweets out, an early and perfect Father's Day gift from his wife. And it's a picture of him and his son on those, like, all the rage portraits where it's, like, their faces on historical portraits. And Dr. Lupo goes, take notes at Mrs. Dr. Lupo. Mm. And she responds, well, F. I knew clicking on this tweet would make me have to step it up. Ha ha. And that's all I have.
I have a weird variety of tweets.
Oh?
Someone named Xavier tweets, yo, Rusev, come on, man. How you get fired? He goes, by receiving a text to call the office.
Oh.
Aiden, top three players to ever touch Fortnite. Ninja, Tfue, Myth. Lupo replies, number zero, me, obviously. Tom Brady, welcome Eli Manning. In typical fashion, you never showed up until the fourth quarter anyway.
Oh!
Eli's now on Twitter. Eli, hope your golf game is as polished as your Twitter game. Don't hit it in the lumber yard.
Oh!
I mean, Brady had a bad day. But we'll get to that in a second.
But that doesn't mean we all didn't enjoy it immensely.
Sarah Baker posted out a picture of a headline. Man assaulted by ATM. Her headline with it was, do you think it knocks some sense into him?
Really?
Mr. Fruit, nearly 24 hours without internet. I only see in black and white. I just discovered fire. The wheel is still a foreign concept. I can only hope I'm strong enough to push forward in these trying times. Not SportsCenter. Report. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says pro sports teams in the state can resume training with proper health protocols. No word yet on whether the Jets, Knicks, and Mets can resume.
Ouch.
Sean Payton. I'm liking this Florida Tom Brady right now because he was playing bad. Tom Maglio. This is the worst day of Tom Brady's life. Well, fourth worst. Adam Schefter. That shot might have been more impressive than 28-3.
Really?
Andy Nesbitt. Brady just 28-3 that seventh hole.
God damn it. Can that die now?
Nick Foles.
Like, for reals?
Nick Foles. Payton. Two words. If Tom and Phil start coming back, Philly special. Go win it. Hashtag the match, too. Courage JD tweets out, this was my only option. Rip keyboard, and here's audio.
They're insulting.
Oh, spider on my keyboard! There's a spider in my keyboard!
Yeah, go call your girlfriend, because you can't handle it for some reason, bro.
Go call a real man. Go call Nate John. Maybe he'll do something about it.
I'm getting a new keyboard.
They're insulting.
He then threw his keyboard across the room. His girlfriend tweeted, do you need me to come kill it?
Just brush it off, dude. It's fine.
James Van Der Beek. WWE should make Nia a shirt that has one of those. There has been blank days since the last workplace accident.
Ooh.
With a zero written in it.
Oh, God. That's really mean.
Really lean into it. Dave Schilling. Donald Trump threatening to get rid of Twitter is like Darth Vader threatening to turn off his respirator.
I have so many thoughts about that that I'm going to keep to myself because we don't talk about this on this show.
Sports Illustrated talked about how Texas governor is going to allow fans outdoors professional sporting events in Texas coming up. With a reduced stadium capacity. And then someone goes, I suspect Florida will probably do so too. And then Richard Triumfo goes, Rays, Marlins, and Panthers have been doing it for years.
Oh, ow.
And Malcolm Blivens. He did you know he made a cameo on Raw this week?
Hmm.
He was in the crowd.
Was he?
He was. After being behind Plexiglas for the first time, I'm 99.9999999% sure I would whoop ass and win an Elimination Chamber.
Okay, fair.
Tweet a week.
Okay, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So this was an interesting show, to say the least.
This one had a crowd, like Raw did. It was, I believe, the NXT wrestlers that were not on the show.
But more a lot of Performance Center people, yeah.
But they were there to root and cheer on.
Yep. In our opening contest, it was the Group A tiebreaker match, because last week, which we weren't able to cover, Drake Maverick beat Kushida to tie this whole thing up. So it led to Kushida versus Jake Atlas versus Drake Maverick. In a pretty good match that saw Drake somehow back his way into it as Kushida had the armbar locked in and Jake Atlas was down on the mat. He put his arm on top of Jake Atlas for the 1, 2, 3. While at the same time Jake Atlas was tapping out, the referee did not see that part. So Drake Maverick is now going to fight El Hijo del Fantasma next week for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Okay, I'm just going to say this now. Not that I would actually follow through on this threat. Not that there is a threat at all. But if you assholes in Connecticut and Florida, respectively, break my heart with Drake Maverick, I will be very, very, very upset at you. I won't do anything about it, but I will be very upset and will go on the very long list of things that you have broken my heart about in wrestling, because that is cruel.
You know what she's going to do, folks?
I'm going to get on the internet and scream about it.
Yep. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I have a platform, not that anybody really cares about what I say on my platform, but I have a platform that I will get on the internet and scream about because I can. I mean, I'm almost hesitant at this point because I really want to be behind Drake Maverick and I really want to support him because I really, really genuinely want him to win. But I am so hesitant to make that dive because I know what's coming. I know they're going to break my heart with this. I know it. I've been through this too many times to get my hopes up at this point. It's like Kane all over again.
So they were later in the show, they were talking to Drake backstage, and he was like, he saw the footage and he was okay. He wanted another match, and Kushida walked up and said, "You put up a good fight, and you deserve the wrestle for the title." And he told him, "You can win. You can do this." And when he wins, he's giving Kushida the first shot.
Which is sweet.
Yeah. Not canceled WWE Network. Brent, come on now.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Because it didn't happen on the network. It happened on USA Network. God.
And I can't cancel USA Network.
Anyway. We had Johnny Gargano come to the ring. And he's talking about all the guys around ringside. Guys and girls around ringside. And a lot of them are good hands. And he was once a good hand. And well, he's announcing the Johnny Gargano Invitational. He's going to give a young star an up and a chance to fight him. And he's reading it. And he goes, Adrian she's like, wait, what? Oh, Adrian Alanis is his opponent. And he quickly beat Adrian really quick.
Really quickly. As Candace cheered him on.
She did. After the match, Mia Yim and Keith Lee showed up on the screen. And they were basically mocking the segment from a couple weeks ago with Gargano and Candace eating, when they were having dinner. She had fake flowers. They did the flashlight. She had a flashlight to mock Candace. And then Lee was trying to do it as well. He's like, this is weird. This whole thing's weird. And he did it and he did the voice and whatever. And, you know, it's now time to eat. Candace LeRae's favorite food, takeout. And then conveniently, in walked Tegan Knox with the pizza. And apparently, Lee's like, she had a key, apparently. And then she said, there's not much left in the box. She kind of ate it all. Bo's Gargano's pizza, because, you know, reasons.
It's a nice touch.
It was.
It was a very nice touch. This made the whole thing just so phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. This made it worth it, because it's like the match was the match, and I've been having a hard time like investing in Candace and Johnny ever since Scarlett Bordeaux and Cross showed up. So like this made it so, so good. Like I loved Mia and Keith mocking them.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And then Tegan just rolling up with a pizza that was half eaten, but it's Gargano's pizza, so it's all good. Like that was just perfect. That was such a great little touch that somebody thought of. So well done them. I'm very proud of everybody involved in this segment. And also Mia and Keith are just adorable together.
We saw Shotzi Blackheart take on Raquel Gonzalez. Saw a little match. Tegan Knox came to ringside because Dakota was there because, you know, reasons.
Like you do.
We also saw Dakota drive around the tank. That's when Tegan showed up to get her out of the tank.
You don't touch the tank.
Mm-hmm. Candace would show up later in the match and she would argue with Tegan, and this allowed Dakota to interfere and help Raquel Gonzalez beat Shotzi. Good stuff.
It was very good stuff. It was very enjoyable stuff. I liked it quite a bit. I mean, it got very, very interesting. So I like this a lot.
Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai took on Charlotte Flair and a partner of her choosing. It was Chelsea Green with Robert Stone. Good match. Saw Team Charlotte get the win. But we learned some stuff on the interwebs afterwards.
Yeah, apparently, you know, Chelsea Green is so pleased with herself and pleased of her match with Charlotte and where her current star power is and everything like that, that, well, she feels like she doesn't need Robert Stone anymore. And in fact, she fired Robert Stone on the backstage portion of the WWE stuff. So that's a very curious development. But yeah, highly enjoyed the match. Really liked the pairing. Rhea was not happy that they lost. Neither was Io.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was a nice, solid contest between the four ladies, and I wouldn't mind seeing it again, honestly.
No, we're looking forward to the Triple Threat match at In Your House, NXT TakeOver Edition, coming up in 9 days. Mackenzie Mitchell was talking to Candace and Johnny, and they were not upset. They were not happy with the little skit they did. LeRae is going to fight Mia next week, and she said Tegan should be ashamed for taking part in the skit.
Why? Because she brought pizza.
But they were, no, because Tegan and Candace were friends, and now, you know, she was against them, and, you know, that's why.
Didn't Candace kick Tegan in the face?
Well, that's beside the point.
I mean, do friends really kick each other in the face?
Yes. Anyway, so we now have a negotiation with Adam Cole and William Regal. They're going back and forth, and how Cole wants nothing more to do with Velveteen Dream. He wants him out of here. He wants him done. No more. He wants him out of their business. And he's going on and on. And Regal said, this is supposed to be negotiation. So you got to tell me, we got to go back and forth here. One, Cole wants a title shot for Undisputed Era for the tag team titles. And two, he wants, you know, Velveteen Dream. And, well, Regal says, okay, all right, well, here we go. Because Cole's talking about how, you know, Dream has a spotlight on him all the time. And then, well, Regal brought up the same thing about Adam Cole. Cole said he's the cornerstone of NXT, and Undisputed Era has made Regal's company look really good. Regal then shot a great line, told Adam Cole to stop acting like a baby, and Cole said that was Regal's best joke since he was told he was a man's man.
Solid exchange.
So it will be Cole versus Dream at NXT TakeOver for the NXT Championship, and if Dream loses, he will not get another opportunity, but Regal will find the perfect setting for the two men to have their match that will give them the perfect spotlight.
So methinks they're up to something, that Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream may get the cinematic treatment, which I'm okay with if they do that. Also, why would you talk shit to William Regal? Why? That man will hurt you. He doesn't need a ring to do it. Just saying, he has a very, very strong sadistic dark side to him. You can tell. Don't taunt him. Please don't. He will hurt you. He doesn't care.
Tommaso Ciampa beat Leon Ruff in about a minute or so. Scarlet Bordeaux watched on. And then we had a really interesting little up-close personal video with Karrion Kross.
I need Scarlet Bordeaux to stop ending my life every time she shows up. Like, good lord, that outfit was just like, yes. All the yes. Like, she looks so sick. Although I will say that, like, the full side, like, just the close-up of Karrion Kross's eyes on the screen, and her standing there facing away from Tommaso as he's addressing Tommaso, had to be the weirdest experience ever, because she's just staring at it, and she's just staring at, like, a very pixelated video of his eyes that close. Like, that had to just be the weirdest experience, but it was still good. It was a really, really good promo. Really fun. And one more thing on the William Regal stuff. I really kind of wish that they had, like, him shoot that in the room where he keeps his lizards. Or at least be holding a lizard and petting his lizard. Like a supervillain. That would have been nice. But yeah, back to this stuff. This was really super good as the feud between Karrion and Tommaso continues.
And then your main event, it's the Fight Pit. Timothy Thatcher, Matt Riddle, with Kurt Angle as your special guest referee. This was a fight and a half. The structure The structure was awesome. It had the throwback to the Lion's Den type thing they did a long time ago. This was a straight up fight. Two men just beating on each other for 10 minutes, throwing each other around, kicking each other in the face, men losing teeth.
That was nasty.
Men trying to rip each other's arms off. This was great.
There were not a lot of pulled punches in this at all. There was a lot of fists and feet and bodies and teeth and blood flying everywhere in this. And I'm not kidding about the teeth and the blood. This is, if you just came into the show and you missed the news, Timothy Thatcher actually lost teeth in this match. He was bleeding profusely.
It's kind of it was gnarly.
It was so gross because they're like showing him and there's like blood gushing out of his mouth from where his teeth have come out. And then they're showing the teeth on the mat. And because it's a black mat, you can see them really, really clearly that they've just been broken. So it was like, oh God, oh God. And somehow they got the bleeding to stop. I'm not sure how they did it, but they were able to get the bleeding to stop long enough for them to finish the match. But this was really, really super good. Loved how they did this.
In the end, Timothy Thatcher choked out Matt Riddle as the arm dropped. 1, 2, 3.
Your winner, Timothy Thatcher.
And that's probably the end of Mr. Riddle in NXT.
Yeah, they're going to go ahead and they're going to break up Riddle and Dunn permanently. And Matt Riddle is going to go up to SmackDown or Raw, probably SmackDown at this point, and make his fortunes up there. So, yeah. Good on him. This is a good way to go out. Even though he lost, this is still a really good way to go out because this was a super strong performance for both men.
And this one made Timothy Thatcher.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
So good. Good stuff.
So yeah. So that was NXT as we move forward to In Your House, which we will be previewing next week?
Next week.
So you guys don't want to miss that, but that does it for us. So everybody sit tight because we are going to be doing Fortnite with friends in some fashion. We got to get the squad together and figure out who all is around. So you don't want to miss that. That will be right after this show, but you have other stuff to plug, so plug away.
Available now at SeaBreaderLive.com and WildTalkRadio.com with SeaBreader Not So Live, where myself, the Lone Jobber, and the intern Kinkins reviewed AEW Double or Nothing. So if you want our opinions on that show, check it out now at CBRadio.com. We'll be live this Saturday night, midnight-ish, for another edition of CB Radio. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, CBRadio.com. And we have an interesting debate to celebrate a birthday of some sort for a wrestler. And we have a game we're going to play. It's a game. It'll be interesting.
I'm a little scared.
I'll tell you in a minute. So check it out. See you this Saturday night. Brussels Talk Radio should be live Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Kicking Down Doors, the brand new book from DK Publishing. Our review is now available at RackRadioShow.com. We'll be live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk all things In Your House NXT TakeOver Edition. We were going to have Fortnite, but Fortnite season got pushed back, so we're just, yeah. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. Use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag epic partner. And follow at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitters.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at Lynn's Ward, LANSWARD, and twitch.tv/LynnsWard. Because, you know, at some point my internet will be better and I can stream again. I will not be streaming tonight. I will not be streaming Saturday unless I can get my internet fixed. So, sorry guys, I am trying to get it resolved. We thought it was fine, and then now it's not fine again. So, got to figure out what's going on there with that. But, you know, if you're looking for other things to check out, you can check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And, of course, you can always follow and subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com. We are going to take a quick break. We are going to get the squad, and then we are going to be back with Fortnite with friends. But till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.